to another exciting episode of National Bugle Radio on the Broadcasting Network, republicbroadcasting.org. It's the Maureen McGovern song of free speech. There's got to be a morning after. And David Duke used to play that. That's why I was talking about his show yesterday. I was going to reference that song. I started talking about the first year he did the show, and then I forgot why I was talking about it. But that's why. I wanted to reference the song, There's Got to Be a Morning After. Anyway, so go to republicbroadcasting.org, click on the donate button, send the fundage to 2251 Double Creek Drive, Suite 302, Round Rock, Texas, 78664. Phone it into 1-800-724-2719. And if you have any money left over, don't buy food. It just makes you fat. Send your extra money to David Duke at Box 180, Mandeville, Louisiana, 70470. Can you imagine, Paul Stevenson, can you imagine what people would say that that we are telling, or I am telling people not to buy food, but instead to send all their money to David Duke? Are they going to say this is a cult? What do you think?
I don't agree. I think you should send it to me.
Okay. Send all your money. Don't buy food.
Send Give me money. The money. You don't need to eat.
No, eating makes you fat. David Duke has been a longtime proponent of fasting. Everybody knows that.
So. Send your money. Send your money. It's, well, you know, in the long run, maybe it's money well spent, because, you know, if the Jews have their way, you might end up very hungry one day, you know, when your children are starving and, you know, and you're starving. Maybe people will start talking about the Jews. Maybe some of them will just starve to death rather than be called an anti-Semite. But if you send your money to David Duke, we could prevent that starvation, the famine that's coming. Although we don't need to worry about any, of that or any future catastrophe, certainly not for the next 4 years, because Donald Trump's now the president. Because Donald Trump, I was listening to him earlier. Obviously, the war in Ukraine wouldn't have happened. October 7th would never have happened. Inflation would never have happened, which is laughable considering Trump's fiscal policies economically in the last administration, and that won't get any better either. I guess, you know, it's a real shame that Trump wasn't president for maybe the last 50 years. Thinking of all the horrible things that could have been avoided. You know, there was floods. There was really devastating floods, for example, in Spain a couple of weeks ago in Valencia. Presumably, they wouldn't have happened either. You know, I had a dog that died in 2008, which I loved so much. That probably wouldn't have happened. That dog would still be alive today. Just think of everything that wouldn't have, all the disasters and catastrophes that would have been avoided. But at least we can look forward to the next 4 years of nothing bad happening, Patrick.
Well, yeah. So regarding the Ukraine war, I do think that his presidency, because on the first day he was president, he fired Victoria Nuland. So you got to give credit where credit's due. He said, you're fired on the first day. His administration got off to a good start, but I think like maybe from the second or third day, it started going downhill. He started hassling.
Was out of office anyway.
Yeah. Hey, I'm about to go through a tunnel. You want a filibuster for a little bit?
Sure. Okay. Well, I do think Trump will get something done when it comes to the Russia-Ukraine situation, but the Russians' distrust of the West and the United States particularly is at an all-time low, so they're not getting too excited. However, after a visit to, I think, Kazakhstan today, Sergey Lavrov, I don't know what way it's meant to be pronounced. Is it Sergey or Sergey? But anyway, a very respectable man and an impressive diplomat that we'd be proud to have someone like that in this country. But we've got David Lammy, so can't really complain. Anyway, he said, we will see if there are any proposals from the incoming Trump administration. And he said, I repeat, it wasn't us who broke off relations, and it is not for us to suggest that we resume them. He said, but if there is an initiative to sit down and talk and talk honestly without any unilateral demands about where we are. We will, I'm sorry, and how we should move forward, it will not be up to us. So he said, we will see if there are any proposals for from the incoming Trump administration. President Putin emphasizes our position every time we talk about this topic. Talking is always better than isolating ourselves from each other. And as I understand President Trump, all the problems between Russia and the United States are very deep. But he said that they stem primarily from an implementation of the American elite's attitude, in brackets. Most of them are Jews, now he doesn't know. That is necessary to suppress any competitors on the world stage, so that no one appears who would somehow question America's dominance. And then, so they said it would judge Donald Trump based on his actions. That came from Peskov, the Kremlin spokesperson. He said that Vladimir Putin had no plans to congratulate Trump. Maybe he should. But Russia-U.S. relations are at an all-time low. And, So, anyway, that's the Russians. They're not getting too excited, and they're not, they're going to ply on regardless. The thing is, Trump says, I'd end that conflict tomorrow. Well, maybe he will, but I doubt it that quickly. But the Russians are going to end it anyway. It's just a case of whether Trump can intervene and end it sooner and save the slaughter of more Ukrainians and more Russians and prevent, just the complete destruction of the Ukrainian state and, people like Zelensky continuing to become very wealthy men off the dead corpses and indeed the figurative corpse of Ukraine that he apparently loves so much.
So, as I mentioned, Trump's firing of Victoria Nuland. So that removed her from office for 4 years. He fired her on his first inauguration day. Mm-hmm. And so that set back the provocation, the ultimate provocation of Russia into invading Ukraine. That set that back by at least 4 years. Mm-hmm. And in that 4 years, Russia was able to sanction-proof itself and improve relations with China. And that's why the Nuland plan failed. So I will give credit where credit's due there. Now, regarding the Middle East, he says October 7th would have never happened. Well, really, if you look at the broad swath of history with decades and decades of oppression and bombing and murder of Palestinians and especially Gaza, it made October 7th like event inevitable. But you could really make, I think, a strong case that the Abraham Accords, these peace treaties that Jared Kushner in particular and Mike Pompeo had negotiated with the some of the rich Gulf oil states, that this made the October 7th inevitable.
That this Is Mike Pompeo still in his administration?
Mike Pompeo looks like he's back. He might be Secretary of Defense. So that's alarming. But just regarding the Abraham Accords, what the Abraham Accords was a peace treaties between Israel and Arab countries that are doing well because they're wealthy and they're doing well, and it was excluding the Palestinians. So you were one by one picking off Arab countries without any progress towards settling the Palestinian issue. And when Egypt was the first country to do a peace treaty with Israel in, 1979, I believe it was, under the auspices of Jimmy Carter. And Egypt was expelled from the Arab League, even though it's the largest Arab country. It was expelled from the Arab League. And if you had an Egyptian stamp on your passport, you weren't getting into any other Arab countries. Egypt was completely shunned by the rest of the Arab world because they did a separate peace treaty with Israel without settling the Palestinian issue. And the Abraham Accords, it would have normalized relations between Saudi Arabia and Israel. That was about to happen. And to have peace deals between major Arab countries and Israel without addressing the Palestinian issue, that's like a death sentence for the Palestinians. And so they felt like, well, they have absolutely nothing to lose. You know, within a short period of time, within months, weeks even, relations between Saudi and Arabia and some of the other countries and Israel would be normalized, and the Palestinians would be forsaken. They'd have no leverage, and they would just be completely exposed and vulnerable to mass deportation or disappropriation, where you take their asset, their property. And so I would make the case of the Abraham Accords. You know, they weren't a good peace deal. They were a war deal. They were a genocide deal. Are you there?
Yeah, that was a very Zionist friendly deal.
Yeah.
And the Palestinians said, you know, we've been in the cold, we've been left out in the cold, and we don't like this this chilly coldness. And they turned the whole world on its head.
They've been forsaken by the whole world.
Yeah, exactly. And they saw the writing on the wall for them. They were being left behind. We're not important. And they had all their ideas. And so had the wider, you know, axis of resistance. And, you know, they've sort of turned the whole world on its head. I mean, you know, October 7th, who cares about October 7th? I mean, the Israelis probably let it go ahead in all likelihood, this great security state. And it hasn't worked out for them too well. It depends now what Trump's going to do. I think one of the first phone calls, we shouldn't be surprised, was from Netanyahu. Netanyahu, as I mentioned to you the last time we spoke on the election night, has sacked Yoav Gallant. So Iran are still apparently going to hit back at Israel for their attacks on the 26th. So we'll see. I think Trump, you know, it's a much more simple proposal in Ukraine. He can just get on the phone to Zelensky and say, you're done, we're cutting off everything. You're going to have to make peace, and you're going to have to make it on Russia's terms, because you're not in no position to negotiate anything on your terms with your delusional, you know, peace proposal that was basically, you know, give all the land back and we're going to join NATO. So I think Trump will get that done, but I don't know if it's going to be that simple when it comes to the Middle East and Israel and Iran and all this stuff over there, you know. So it's going to be interesting to see what's happened. I mean, you're hearing different messages from Trump on the side. We want peace. You know, but we support Israel fully. Well, that's almost an oxymoron. If you want to support Israel fully and you want peace, those things don't work out too. They don't go hand in hand, because Israel's just a state hell-bent on ethnic cleansing and eradicating Gaza and Lebanon too.
Yeah. Now,
so something's to give.
Yeah, I was just going to say that you know, on the one hand, Trump is never running for office again. And he said,
is he not allowed to do a second term consecutive after this?
No, he cannot.
It's only two terms, regardless whether they're consecutive or not.
Right. I mean, the only exception is, let's just say Joe Biden had resigned or died with less than 2 years to go in his term. Kamala Harris could have served out the remaining 1.5 years, and that wouldn't count towards her. She would be able to do two more terms after that. So you could plausibly do two and a half terms, but no, he can't run anymore. It doesn't matter that they're not consecutive. So he's never running again. He's going to be 82 years old at the end of this. He will wind up being an older president than Joe Biden. I mean, albeit he seems to be healthier and in more command of his faculties. But the point I'm making is he doesn't need anything from Miriam Adelson anymore, right? On the one hand, you could say he owes her a debt. Judge Napolitano has been using that term. He's owes $100 million to her. He got the money, and he'll probably give her what she wants, but he doesn't need any more. Like when he was in his first term, he still needed money, but he doesn't need money anymore because he's not running for anything again. And so who knows? Who knows? I'm not trying to shoot up some hopium, but he doesn't really need anything from these people anymore.
Yeah, and as impressive, you've got to give the man credit. As impressive, as it is, I think, for what he's done and the lawfare against him, the attacks on his life, it would appear, were genuine. The fact remains, I think, that, the Democrats have been pumping out this propaganda that the economy is great, that everything's wonderful, and people, up and down the country are thinking otherwise. And so they've resisted the gaslighting because they can see their paychecks and they can see themselves struggling. And I think, that this election was all about the economy, really. I mean, even beyond culture wars, we get into the culture war, but I think people are most concerned about, money and putting food on the table. 4% of Americans, I believe, in a poll that, said that foreign policy would even be a consideration. I think that's kind of disgraceful considering what America does around the world, starting wars and slaughtering people and supporting people who slaughter people. But I also understand that America is very self-contained. It's like almost like another planet rather than another country. So it's not that big a consideration. It's been quite amusing, if nothing else, watching some of these media talking heads, liberals, other, TikTok users, social media users having their usual meltdowns. on the fact that Trump got in, and it must be difficult for him to swallow that he did so well with younger voters and ethnic minorities. But again, I think the ethnic minorities, to some extent, are fed up being not just gaslitting by the Democrats, but being sort of manipulated and used by them, for their abominations in the culture war, and they really just want to have a decent economy and a standard of living as well. But I don't know where you've seen some of the social media clips doing the rounds of liberals having meltdowns, although even that I find is kind of getting a bit tiring, really, and getting people doing video after video about the meltdowns of green-haired freaks and stuff. It's like it gets a bit boring after a while, to be honest. But I think it's all about the economy, Patrick, for the most part,
Well, the stock markets are up, that's for sure.
But why is that? What exactly did Trump do with the economy? Yeah, it is psychological. I mean, Trump talks about inflation. It really does irritate me when Trump talks about, we had the greatest economy in the world. What did he do? He didn't do anything. He cut taxes a bit. It's not like he did anything extraordinary. Because quite frankly, if he did and he wanted to get things under control there with a national deficit and inflation and everything else, you're going to have to raise interest massively. You're going to have to massively cut public spending. And he's not going to do that because that does not,
So you met someone who set you back on your heels. Goody, goody. So you met someone and now you know how it feels. Goody, goody. So you gave him your heart too, just as I gave mine to you. And he broke it in.
Whole, not fractionated, not standardized, not adulterated, but pure and nature made for excellent digestion, absorption, utilization, and elimination. Colorado Shilajit is raw, whole, unadulterated, and alive. Pre-processed shilajit, imported from Himalayas, Russia, China, Pakistan, are most often cooked, boiled, smoked. And if it's legit, definitely beneficial. But maybe not truly whole. Only raw shilajit provides the perfect balance of humic and fulvic acids with a complete essential mineral spectrum that is required to effectively energize cells and remove toxic metals, forever chemicals, synthetic hormones, pesticides, herbicides, and more. Pure raw shilajit. Legit shilajit. Colorado shilajit.
Look for the gold mountain and medical symbol logo in banners on republicbroadcasting.org. Watch the full video and see more information. Use code GORBN when ordering. That's G-O-R-B-N.
Charles de Gaulle once said, actually, it's difficult to envision in this regard any other criterion, any other standard than gold. Yes, gold, which does not change in nature, which can be made into either bars, ingots, or coins, which has no nationality, and which is considered in all places and all times the immutable and fiduciary value par excellence. So when the question is, why gold? It's simple, my friends. The answer to that question is simply, why not? Like it or not, precious metals will always be the world's reserve currency. Even though nations do not define their currency by their worth in, say, gold, individuals still buy gold and silver to protect themselves from inflation. The more money a nation's central bank pours into the economy, the less valuable its currency, the dollar is, which means the price of everything else rises. $21 up for a bag of dog food. Seeing that the dollar is cheap, that's why the cost of everything goes up. It's because the buying power, the value of the dollar, has tanked. It's worth nothing. And yet gold that your family would have owned in 1907 will buy at least the same amount of goods, if not far more. William McPhee once stated, it's extraordinary how many emotional storms one may weather in safety if one is ballasted with ever so little gold. The truth about money, gold versus cash in a crisis, gold a valuable thing to store, the power of gold in times of crisis. Historical sketch of paper currency. Oh, and beware the ides of rare coin dealers. And Alan Greenspan's speech on gold and economic freedom. How interesting. I'm going to give you gold and silver in 5 easy lessons. Seeking out the most efficient and most secure route to owning gold and converting it into widely accepted currency is the next best thing to enjoying gold-backed currency, my friends. In a world of central bankers hell-bent on devaluing our savings, you need to own private gold standard. Contact me, Jeffrey Bennett at Kettle Moraine Limited, by calling our phone number at 602-799-8214. That's 602-799-8214.
Because quite frankly, if he did, and he wanted to get things under control there with a national deficit and inflation and everything else, you're going to have to raise interest massively. You're going to have to massively cut public spending. And he's not going to do that because that does not, you know, it does not make people happy. But he's just going to keep adding to the whole problem like he did when he was in the last time. You know, it's just going to be, it's just a bubble. It's just an expanding bubble in everything.
So the American economy is never going to address its underlying problems of lack of production, right? Massive budget deficits, massive trade deficits, deindustrialization. It's never going to happen as long as the dollar has special status.
Yeah,
and
I agree.
And you know, the American can effectively just export the consequences of its insane fiscal and economic policies to the rest of the world to absorb. But that's the special status of the dollar is it's on the decline, and so there may be no choice. We'll see.
There'll be a day of reckoning at some point, but. You know, I wish Trump would stop talking like he's going to, you know, save the economy, because he was in the last 4 years and he talks about it as the greatest economy, not just in America at recent times, but America's history. In fact, in the whole history of the world. And if you know anything about basic economics, which obviously a lot of people don't because they believe it again, there's nothing he did that was particularly going to deal with the economic problems, because if he did, there's going to be a lot of pain. So what they're going to do, like you said, they're just going to let this freight train run into economic reality, and somewhere down the line, the dollar's going to collapse. Meanwhile, you know, with inflation, any tax cuts are going to be off counteracted by the inflation anyway, which is ultimately a tax because you're paying more for everything.
So what Trump did in office wasn't, with regards to the economy, they weren't spectacular things. They weren't massively unprecedented. There were some things. The tax system was changed, which actually did not, you know, it reduced tax revenues. You know, there were cuts to corporate cuts to a lot of tax rates. And, you know, the economic theory behind cutting taxes is then the economy grows. And even though you have a lower tax rate, you're taxing a larger economy, so you get more revenue. You didn't really have that. But, you know, there were certain changes, but these weren't revolutionary changes. And the stock market was pretty much booming for 3 years. It was like a panic maybe right around what would it have been, like early 2019, there was a bit of a panic, but then there was a recovery. And then the COVID just screwed up a lot of things. And Trump has responsibility for going along with a lot of the COVID stuff. He was isolated, but he was isolated because he had appointed bad people. So that's what we want to look out for. So, and you know, one other thing, you're talking about Trump saying, bragging about the economy and bragging about a lot of things. And he's always bragging about how great he was. And, you know, frankly, his memory is not based on reality. He's got this alternative universe that lives in his head. And, you know, and a lot of people go along with it. So I've been hearing all these people saying there were no wars under Trump. And you could say, okay, he didn't start any, unlike his several predecessors, he didn't start a new major war. But there were plenty. I mean, he didn't. The Afghanistan war, it continued. He had troops in Afghanistan. He had troops in Syria, which he was trying to get removed. But there was insubordination, and he wasn't able to enforce his will as commander in chief on his own military. And so there were wars going on. He wasn't stopping them. And relations with Russia got worse, not better. So I don't know. And so you look at, over the next few weeks, we'll have some personnel announcements being made, and nothing big has happened yet, but like rumors for Secretary of State, you've got Marco Rubio. You got some senator from Tennessee who used to be the ambassador to Japan. Both of them are China hawks. Both of them are neocons. And then you got the best of the three that are being rumored right now, Rick Grenell, who is this homosexual who was acting national security advisor for a while. He used to be the ambassador to Germany. And he's not so great. He's actually, you know, he wants peace through saber rattling. He's more or less said that, you know, that Trump's threats are credible. People think Trump actually might bomb them. So if we saber rattle.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Well, hello, folks. This is Mike Gatti, the rebel madman at Republic Broadcasting Network. If you are searching for your inner rebel, it can be found at the Dixie Republic. It's the world's largest Confederate store, located in Travelers Rest, South Carolina. The anti-white, anti-Christ, anti-Southern world ends at the asphalt. Welcome to God's country. Log on to thedixierepublic.com to view all of their Southern merchandise, from flags to t-shirts to artwork. At the store, browse through their extensive collection of belt buckles and have a custom-made leather belt handcrafted in their Johnny Reb gun and leather shop. Now remember, DixieRepublic.com, where you can meet all of your Southern needs.
Hey there, this is Sheila with Hempaste by Manutra. Why is hempaste better than other CBD options on the market? It's important to point out that the common CBD oil does not contain CBDA or CBGA, and they're only found in fresh or raw hemp products, like hempaste. Hempaste contains the entire plant, minus any stems. This means the product retains the complete genetic code of the plant, which also includes those two vital cannabinoids, CBGA and CBDA. Over and over, experts keep saying the more intact or less processed the hemp plant is, the more effective it is. Happy hemp paste.
Hemppaste.com/RBN. Free shipping on orders over $50. See the banners for hemp paste at republicbroadcasting.org. And visit hemppaste.com/RBN.
Call 855-656-8872. Mention RBN.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home.
Email Tom at republicbroadcasting.org. T-O-M at republicbroadcasting.org.
Days are here again, the skies above are clear again. Let us sing a song of cheer again. Happy days are here again.
Peace through saber rattling. He's more or less said that, you know, that Trump's threats are credible. People think Trump actually might bomb them. So if we saber rattle, we're going to get our way. Well, that's stupid. But he's the best of the three at this point. And, you know, there are some good people on the transition team, or better people. There are people that seem to have influence right now, like Elon Musk and Tucker Carlson, who are better than the run-of-the-mill Republican neocons. But there's also a lot of hardcore Israel First Jews that are involved. Howard Lutnick is actually running the transition team. So who knows? We'll have a better idea in a few weeks.
Yeah, I mean, I think ultimately that, you know, even if Trump stops this war in Ukraine and brings some sort of peaceful solution there, you know, even if he just does that, it'd be a good thing. And, you know, someone was asking me about Trump. I said, you know, I really don't think that Trump is either going to, like, you know, like his haters, at least they say so. I think most of them are disingenuous. But, you know, I don't think any of his haters or those who are brainwashed by, you know, these talking heads in mainstream media, you know, who think Trump's going to round up 12 million immigrants or whatever that guy Wise said the other day, and all these sort of ridiculous, claims about Trump. I don't think any of that's going to happen. Any of these worst fears or anything close to it's going to happen for those who hate Trump. And for those who love Trump, I don't think he's going to get particularly close to any of the things that some of them believe he's going to do. So I don't think he's going to do any great damage if you're a liberal. And I don't think he's going to radically shake up and drain the swamp and change everything and turn everything around and dismantle the whole system if you're a massive Trump supporter. I think he's going to be better than the Democrats. But ultimately, I think in 4 years' time from now, we'll, you know, not that much will have changed, honestly. That's how I think, you know, because, you know, I just don't see it. You know, I like I said, I think it will be better. I think some of the personality, you know, people like Tulsi Gabbard, like you said, and Elon Musk in there, things will improve and we should be glad for that. But I don't see any great swamp being drained or any, you know, systematic dismantling of the system in the next 4 years, you know?
Yeah, to the extent I'm hopeful. Yeah. To the extent I'm hopeful, it's not so much because of what's going to come out of the Trump administration. It's going to come out of BRICS, what's going to come out of Russia and China and the change in the international system and the downgrading of the dollar from its current lauded status, that this will impose some changes on the United States, that the changes are going to be imposed on it through outside pressure, through a changing environment. It's not and hopefully some of the adaptations to that changed environment and to that pressure will be positive. But I don't really see it as being led by positive.
It's going to come externally in response to the abuses of the United States rather than internally, because it's so difficult to do internally because the place is such a swamp. And it doesn't help that, you know, Trump does surround himself sometimes with some, you know, some very questionable personnel. I think, you know, the likes of Russia are so cynical now. They're not sitting around waiting for, you know, the next president of the United States to reshape and change anything in their policy. They've decided to crack on and do what they're going to do, regardless of what the United States does. I respect that about them, you know.
Yeah. Yeah. So I was at Trump's last rally, and he and Mike Pompeo was there. Mike Pompeo had a speaking role, and I almost flipped out. Like, I got up and I started screaming, and people around me were cheering me.
Yeah, and they saw you, and they were panicking backstage, and they said, "Where's Tulsi? Get Tulsi out there. Patrick Sandry's out there, and this place is going crazy." And then Tulsi Gabbard came out, and Patrick sat down, and his little hearts in his eyes, and he sat down.
She's the Patrick Whisperer. We'll see how this goes.
What's Tulsi Gabbard's position precisely going to be? She's going to get an actual position in the Trump administration?
Okay, I don't know. What her position is right now is she is an honorary chair of the transition team. So the transition team is led by this Jewish guy, Howard Lutnick, and then the wife of the World Wrestling Federation founder. And she had a minor role in the last Trump administration. She ran for Senate once. She's really just establishment Republican. So that's not good. Those are the two chairs. But then there are, I think, five honorary co-chairs of the transition team. And at this point, these people are going to be in the room discussing personnel decisions. And those five co-chairs are Tulsi Gabbard, Bobby Kennedy Jr., Eric Trump, Donald Trump Jr., and there's one other person who I forgot. But so you have at least Tulsi and Bobby Kennedy who are going to be in the discussions about personnel. Are they going to be able to win the day very often? Probably not. But you know, then you've got Tucker Carlson and Elon Musk, and they've got Trump's ear for the time being. But you know, there are these Jews that gave him a bunch of money. And
the likes of,
yeah.
Well, when you know, Trump is obviously astute when it comes to campaigning, because, you know, he has realized that it's one thing to criticize and mock mainstream media and fake news and everything else, but it's another thing to acknowledge the emerging reality of media that people actually take seriously. He went on Joe Rogan. He's aligned himself with Donald Trump. He's aligned himself with Dana White privilege. Dana White, you know, at the
Ultimate Wrestling Federation,
yeah,
UFC. Yeah.
So he has tapped into a much wider audience than actually, you know, real people and younger people, but not just younger people, but, you know, people you know, on the younger scale, listen to and respect. And it's worked well for him to be elected. So it'd be a shame if he, you know, after he's elected with the support of those people and their audiences and him being sort of relevant, that if he then surrounds himself, you know, with people who've got a different agenda and the likes of who we just mentioned have no influence at all, you know.
So this Howard Lutnick said in an interview with the Rolling Stone magazine, I think it was Rolling Stone magazine, that he's talking frequently to Jared Kushner. Now, Trump, I guess the day after his election on Wednesday, said that he's not going to have family members in the administration. So that's kind of a hopeful sign. And Jared and Ivanka were absent from that last rally when he invited his kids up on stage. Well, it was his other four children and I guess a couple, Eric's wife and Tiffany's husband, but Ivanka and Jared were not there. So, you know, that's kind of good. He said at his victory speech, he said he won't be doing rallies anymore. Maybe he will. I mean, he was doing rallies while he was president, even before the reelection campaign started. He's good at them. It's, you know, it's a way of like building public support for him. But he said, you know, he's done 900 rallies and he's not going to – he said that that last one was the last one, that he's not going to do anymore. And I'm raising that because it's just an indication that he realizes he's not running for office anymore. If he's not doing rallies anymore, maybe he realizes he doesn't need money anymore, and maybe he – I mean, I'm not trying to be hopium. I'm saying maybe. I don't really expect these things, but it's possible that he could no longer needing the Adelsons' money, that he could just betray them. You know, what's to stop him? Well, possibly an assassin's bullet, but you know, that's always on the table. I don't know. We'll see. We'll get some indications coming up soon. What do you think?
Well, you know, we can hope. We'll hope and see. I'm just looking at of Kenny Badenoch, the new conservative leader, the black woman. Sorry, it just looks really odd seeing a black woman up there as leader of the Conservative Party.
Young black woman. It's not dreadlocks. What does she have, braids? At least it's not dreadlocks.
And then you've got Priti Patel sitting in the background. In the background. I mean, well, I don't even think the Conservative Party are relevant anymore. Maybe they will again. They tend to stick around. And, you know, but what's conservative about them? I mean, these people are on record in the Conservative Party, even never mind the Labour Party, and David Lammy, our new Foreign Secretary, of some very pejorative, let's put it that way, rhetoric towards Trump. I suppose they thought Trump wouldn't get back in the office again, but I hope Trump, he normally doesn't, he has quite a long memory when it comes to these things, you know, because some of the things that were said were particularly vicious by David Lammy in 2017 and other times, you know, calling him a Nazi and a fascist and this type of stuff, you know. So the British and the Germans with their attitude towards Ukraine, they're going to have to start sucking up to the United States again, I think, you know, under this new administration.
Yeah, it's so you've had people like, well, the Labour government under Keir Starmer, he was pretty openly supporting Kamala Harris, right?
Absolutely. I forgot to mention that. Yeah, they are on record openly. They were almost campaigning for the woman. So, you know, this guy Starmer is a complete scumbag, and I hope Trump gives him, you know, a short shift, basically, you know.
Now the German government is falling apart.
So their economy.
The Free Democrats, which is one of the three parties of the so-called stoplight coalition, or traffic light coalition, because the Social Democrats, or Socialist Party, and that's who's the chancellor right now? The guy, the bald-headed guy, what's his name?
I forget.
He's so forgettable. His party is red.
Mr. Irrelevant.
What's his name? He's got a name.
It'll come to me.
Yeah, it'll
what
come.
You're talking about the current chancellor?
Yeah, the current chancellor, Olaf Scholz.
Olaf Scholz, yeah.
Yeah.
A little weasel again. He looks like, I don't know, what does he look like? He does have a weasel face. He looks like he should be your high school geography teacher. That you get your pea scooter out, you know, and you put, like, did you have pea scooters? And you sort of just mock him and bully him when he comes in.
Well, anyway, so Olaf Scholz, his party is Social Democrats. They're red. The Greens are obviously green.
And they've got what's her name?
Annalena Baerbock. Annalena Trampolina. I have to say I kind of have a crush on her. I think she's kind of cute.
Well, you stay in your own lane because I've got my own ideas on her. So.
Just watch her jumping on trampolines. That's all I'm saying. And and then the yellow light was the Free Democrats. That's their party. And the Free Democrats have a long, long history of joining coalitions, leaving coalitions, having the coalition then fall apart, and then joining the other coalition. I mean, famously in 1980, was it 82 or 83? They were in coalition with the Social Democrats under Helmut Schmidt, and they just walked. They just walked across the aisle and joined Helmut Kohl. And without elections, a new government was formed. They just switched sides, and they were pivotal. And so they've left it right now. The remaining coalition is a minority government, so they can be toppled at any minute. And so you've got instability there. And it would be funny if they have elections, because right now the right wingers in Germany are, so many of them are supporting the AfD, the Alternative for Deutschland. And then the leftists, so many of the leftists are now supporting this other woman. I forgot her name, but it's like, begins with a W, and it's kind of like a personality party, but she's anti-immigration, which is a big deal. She represents a lot of the left wing in what used to be East Germany. And so you could have a massive change there. Within weeks, you could have an entirely new government. And if you have elections, you look at the elections that they've had, the state elections that they've had recently in Brandenburg and where else, a few other places, and the anti-immigration forces on the right and on the left are doing very, very well. So we'll see what happens there.
Yes, indeed. I think, you know, Iran, just trying to get some stuff while we're online, Iran have basically said they're going to continue preparing essentially for their attack on Israel. They said they're ready for war, regardless of Trump. This is coming from the Ayatollah. Get some quotes.
So I heard McGregor on the Here Comes the Judge show, which, by the way, I'm not. I have trouble seeing it now. They want me to sign in to make sure I'm not a bot, and then when I try to sign in, they tell me that my YouTube account has been terminated because I'm a racist. So I'm having trouble seeing him. But at any rate, I did manage to see McGregor, and he was saying that the Israeli strike on Iran a couple of weeks ago actually did more damage than was initially thought. It did a certain amount of damage to some missile production, but still it was unable to penetrate most of the missile defense system, that the missile defense system worked really well.
That's what I'm wondering. I remember a show we did since that, I remember speculating as to why the Iranians were so hell-bent and quite aggressive in their rhetoric about a response to that, if indeed that, you know, no serious damage was done. I thought that would be an opportunity for them to de-escalate, which I thought would be in their interest and something they would have wanted to do in the first place. But who knows? I mean, you have people like Alistair Crook suggesting that there was virtually no damage done. And then, like you said, you had McGregor on talking about that probably more damage was done than we thought. And that would then explain why there was such a strong reaction from Iran, because, you know, they are still talking about retaliating for that. So I don't know. I mean, we'll see. It's always difficult to know these things, what's really going on out there, you know. But at the same time, I would have expected, you know, the Israelis to be boasting and shouting it from the rooftops if they had.
Way down on the levee in old Alabama, there's Daddy and Mammy, there's Ephraim and Sammy. On a moonlight night, you can find them all while they're waiting. The banjos are syncopating. What's that they're saying? Oh, what's that they're saying? The while they keep playing, I'm humming and swaying. It's the good ship Robert E. Lee has come to carry the cotton away. Watch him shoving along.
People often write to tell us what has happened for them since starting Extendivite. Allow me to read a few. In 1 month, my blood pressure dropped significantly. I no longer get chest pain after exercise. It's amazing, and I ordered my second bottle. The reviews are spot on. My target is to get off BP meds, and if it keeps going like this, I see a light at the end of the tunnel. So far, a great product is what it claims to be. Great product. A few days in, and I could feel a difference for certain. Not checking medical stats yet. I know this is really working by how I feel. We'll continue to take this product. To order, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit extendivite.com. That's extendivite.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Get more tank will save you money every month on gas. I'm Dave Von Kleist, and I noticed increased performance after my first tank of gas. My mileage increased by 2.5 miles per gallon, and I'm saving money on every fill-up. Get more tank is American-made, is used by trucking companies and heavy industry, and is now available to the public. Get more tank works in any gas or diesel engine, cleans your engine, improves performance, reduces emissions, and you'll feel it every time you step on the gas. If you're an owner-operator, farmer, heavy equipment operator, or use any kind of engine from chainsaws, leaf blowers, lawnmowers, ATVs, you name it. Contractors, electricians, plumbers, painters, lawn service companies, Get More Tank will save you money and extend the life of your equipment. Hey, if you've got an engine, then Get More Tank. Save your money, save your engine, reduce your emissions, and save the earth with GetMoreTank.com. A 5-pack of GetMoreTank.com is only $22.22 plus shipping. Use the promo code Republic Broadcasting and get 10% off. Get More Tank is EPA registered, doesn't void warranties, and results vary. GetMoreTank.com.
Have you ever planted a tree for your home garden, orchard, or farm? Well, you'll know how frustrating it is when deer don't stop nibbling at them and you lose years of growth. We have a very economic solution called Tree Savers. It's basically a greenhouse tube at a very economical price. Most of the tubes are $3 to $4, depending on the length that you want. Very easy installation. Check us out at furion.com. Serious growth, that's furion.com. Susanna's Secret Real Essential Oils of Nature would like to thank you and RBN listeners for your previous purchases. We're announcing that we have a new waterless diffuser in stock with a full 1-year warranty. You just insert the bottle to the top, screw it in, tip it upside down, set your timer, or it's also motion activated at furion.com. That's furion.com.
Lady! Whoop, 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 whoop. Whoop on Gangnam Style.
Hey, sexy lady.
Whoop, 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 whoop.
Hey, hey, hey.
Whoop on Gangnam Style.
Things what's really going on out there. But at the same time, I would have expected, you know, the Israelis to be boasting and shouting it from the rooftops if they had such tremendous success in these attacks. And we haven't seen that, you know, so I don't know.
Now, Hezbollah apparently was able to strike Tel Aviv. I don't know what was struck, but once Hezbollah missiles start hitting, well, especially residential areas in Tel Aviv, what are they going to do? I mean, you've already had according to some people, you've already had over 500,000 Israelis just leave, and they have so many of them have the means to leave. They so many of them have dual citizenship in other countries. They have places to go.
Yeah.
Gallant mentioned Gallant was fired. Gallant is calling for some sort of investigation, and it may well be that Gallant is trying to
undermine
Netanyahu while what would you call it? While exonerating himself, he might feel that he was defense minister, so he might be blamed for the security failure. But maybe, who knows? Maybe he feels that an investigation is going to show a lot of malfeasance on the part of Netanyahu and some of the other members of the cabinet, that they knew what was going to happen, that they wanted it to happen, that they let it happen. Well, I don't know. I don't know what's going to go on over there. I think Israel's in a massive crisis.
I think
bunch of people.
Yeah, no, exactly. I think Douglas McGregor alluded to that as well. That investigation, Gallant, you know, will is looking for an investigation into that, and that, you know, it may well appear, or it may well manifest itself and be revealed that they, you know, they knew a lot more than they're letting on, and that Netanyahu could be in trouble. So we'll see. And I don't think it's wise to make an
enemy in the first place. That's where I got that. That's where I got that perspective from, was listening to McGregor. It wasn't an original thought by me. Well, anyway, we are coming up at the end of the show. Do you have any final thoughts?
No, just reiterate what you just said the last time. You said Gallant got that job in the first place.
No. I was saying that I got the when I said that I thought Gallant might be trying to exonerate himself through having an investigation. I got that from McGregor. It's not like I had an independent thought about it. So that's.
Oh, I see.
We're both actually talking about what. We're both derivative of McGregor on this particular issue.
Yeah, sorry. I just lost you there. It was just my headphone Bluetooth connection dropped for a few seconds.
That's okay. I'm sitting in front of a graveyard in the middle of nowhere. It happens sometimes.
All right. Okay. Well, yeah, so we'll wait and see what's going to happen. Again, like I said, they're very interesting times, and we'll see what's going to happen over the next few months. I mean, I don't know how much is going to happen before Trump takes office, but we'll see.
An awful lot could happen, but we will see. Thank you very much for joining me.
Thank you for having me, Patrick, and hopefully speak to you again soon.
And I'll be back again next week with more exciting episodes of National Bugle Radio.
As you can plainly see, at night when he's asleep, into his tent he'll creep, and the stars that shine above will light their way to love. He rules this land with sheep, the Sheik of Araby.
Hey there, are you going to wait till the cows come home to get your new Ease-Off Drop-and-Lift?
What in the world is an Ease-Off Drop-and-Lift?
Our Ease-Off is a new tool to increase production for your meat processing company that will get that whole hog or half a beef on or off your rail with our remote control.
That sounds great, but can I afford it?
Sure, and the Ease-Off installs fast. The effortless operation will reduce fatigue, speed up your line, and increase profits.
Okay, I'm convinced. Where can I get my Ease-Off?
Go to easeoff.com. That's EAZEOFF.com. And hurry, because we're offering free shipping for a limited time. Easeoff.com. We make pigs fly. Cows, too.
Ease-Off, LLC, 417-932-6419.
You can't!
can't handle the truth.
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit republicbroadcasting.org today, because you can handle the truth.